would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings. We'd like to read now from 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. The Word of God says, "Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king, and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Isn't that an amazing thing? If you had been the king, I wonder if you would have had the wisdom to figure out who the real mother was. This king, his name was Solomon, and he was a man that had been praying to God and asked God to give him wisdom. And so when these two women came, there was a great controversy, and there was no such thing as DNA or any other way to test. There was no way to prove who the child belonged to, except God give the king great wisdom. So the king, when there was argument about whose child was still alive, the king said, Bring me a sword, and I'll just cut the child in half. Verse 26 said, Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned yet upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it neither be mine nor thine, but divide it. Can you imagine a woman being willing to kill a child? But you can imagine that a mother would be willing to give up her child and be willing to make all kinds of sacrifices so that her child could live. I believe that most mothers, and not all mothers are the same, I understand that, but most mothers would be willing to give up their child rather than their child dying. And this mother was that kind of mother. And I believe with all of my heart that God puts within the hearts of godly women, He puts in them a great love for their children. And this woman had that kind of love. And that's the main thing that's on my heart. Really, there are two things on my heart this morning. And I ask you all to pray that God will help me to get both across. One is the kind of love that a mother has for her child is the kind of love that every one of us ought to have for each other. It's the greatest love, probably, that you and I can ever know in the natural realm is the love of a mother for her child. Now, there are some fathers whose love exceeds the love of a mother. But that's not normally the case. I think probably every godly father loves their children, but as you go through the Word of God, you'll see that normally the mother's love is the greatest love, and that's what the Word of God stresses is so important, is for us to love like a mother loves her child. So remember that. The first and part of the main lesson that we want to remember this morning is that you and I ought to love each other and love other children like this mother loved her child, so much that we would be willing to make all kinds of sacrifices to help one another and to encourage one another, that we ought to love each other that much, that we would make sacrifices, that we would even sacrifice our own life if it would help our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that you and I, as the people of God, would love each other so much that we would always remember that that brethren, that a family, listen carefully, that a family should not be divided. That a mother and a child should not be separated from each other. And that brothers and sisters in Christ ought not to be separated from each other. And that natural families, mamas and daddies and children, they ought not to be separated from each other. And when love is there and God is the center of the home, I believe with all of my heart, when a man and a woman love God as they should, and when they love each other as they should, and when they love their children as they should, then the house will not be divided. So we have two things on our heart. Number one is that we need to love each other like a mother loves her child. And number two is, and that is, that we don't want any child to die. We don't want any child of God to perish. We tried to study in our Bible this morning about perishing and about children of God perishing. And I believe that most godly mothers, every godly mother would do everything within their power to keep a child from perishing. And I believe that the church ought to love her members so much that we would do everything we can to keep a child of God from perishing. I want you to go to the New Testament very quickly. In Galatians chapter 4, the Word of God makes a distinction here between Sarah and her handmaid. And I'm not going to get into the whole allegory that's given here in Galatians chapter 4, but there's one expression in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 26 that I want you to notice. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 26, the scripture says, "But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all." Now I want you to think about that expression. The main part is that Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Jerusalem is the mother of us all. I believe it was Brother David, in his prayer, he talked about the church being like our mother, or someone that was praying. Was he, Brother David? All right, somebody that was praying this morning talked about how the church is like a mother to us. And the church is like a mother. And the Word of God says here, Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all. Now, I believe with all of my heart that the true Jerusalem, which is above, that is free, is the mother of us all. And the true Jerusalem loves every one of her children more than that harlot back there that we read about in 1 Kings chapter 3, that the true Jerusalem, which is above, loves her children more than that woman loved her child, and more than any woman has ever loved her child. Jerusalem, which is above, loves her children. She is the mother of us all, and she loves us all. I and you, as children of God, we have a heavenly father and we have a heavenly mother. And our heavenly father loves us more than anyone has ever loved anybody. Our God, our father, loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus. He gave Jesus to die for our sins. That love is greater than anybody here can comprehend. You cannot fully describe the love of God that He would give His only begotten Son for us. I want everybody here to know that if you love God, it's because God first loved you. And if you love God, I want you to know that God loves you more than anyone else. God loves you more than your own mother loves you. God loves you more than your father loves you. And God, the Bible says, that God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And He's not talking about ungodly people that are not children of God. He's talking about His people. And God finds no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And you and I ought not to find any pleasure in the death of the wicked. And the Word of God also says that God, our Father, who has this great love for us, our Father is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you hear that? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why? Because repentance will keep God's children from perishing and being destroyed while they live here on this earth. You and I ought to have the same love that our God has for His people. That just as our Heavenly Father is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, you and I ought to have that same feeling. We ought to have that same love that we would not want any to perish. And just like Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of all and has a great love for us, you and I as children of the mother which is above, we ought to have the same kind of love one for another. There ought to be a tremendous love between the brothers and sisters in Christ. And brethren, I would say that the greatest blessing we have here at the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church is the tremendous amount of love between the brethren. I don't know of anything more wonderful than the love of the brethren. Jesus says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." And I believe with all of my heart the greatest joy that I can ever have as a pastor is to see the people of God loving each other. To see the magnitude of the love that the brothers and sisters in Christ have in the church for each other. To see you fulfilling the kind of love that even that harlot had for her child back there in 1 Kings. To see you fulfilling the love that you have for your own children, that you love brothers and sisters in Christ. You love the family of God just like you love your natural family. That's a great blessing. And I believe the greatest blessing that the church has is love. And the same one that put love in the heart of a mother is the one that put love in our hearts for each other. It's an amazing work that God has done, is to put love in our hearts. I love to have people love me. I would like for everybody to like me, but everybody doesn't like me. But I do want you to love me. Does everybody understand that? Now, when I was growing up, there were times in my life, there were times that I did not like my daddy. I think I always loved him, but I did not like him because he was strict, because he would whip me. But I want you to know that the reason he was strict and the reason he whipped me was because he loved me too much to ignore me when I went contrary to what was right. When I did not show him respect, he loved me too much to let me go. And a church that loves her members loves them too much to ignore them when they walk contrary to God's word and God's way. And also I believe that as I grew older and I began to have more sense and I began to have a little more wisdom and I began to have my own children, I began to learn and understand why my daddy disciplined me. It was because he loved me. The Bible says that whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The Bible teaches that parents that do not chasten or discipline their children, they do not love their children. And the Bible also makes it clear that a church that does not love her members enough to watch over one another for good, to restore those that begin to go astray, those who ignore ungodliness among the members of the body, they do not love each other the way the Bible says that the church is supposed to love her members. The church is to have a motherly love for her members. That means that every member of the church is to have a love for every other member of the body. We are, as the church, we are one body. We are all members of the body of Christ. Some of us may be a toe or a finger, but I want you to know that every one of us, as children of God, and as members of the church, we're part of the body of Christ. And we ought to have and must have, if we're going to continue to be His church, we have to have that kind of love. You have to have a mother's love. Now, I would tell you this morning, brethren, that I find great joy in not only having a natural mother. My mother, my natural mother is here this morning. And I have great joy that my natural mother loves me. And I have great joy that my grandmothers loved me. But I have also a great joy, not just that Jerusalem, which is above, who is the mother of us all, loves me. But I have a great, and not just a great love that my Father loves me, but I have a belief and a confidence that the church loves me, and the church loves you, and the members of the body love each other. That's the reason I often say that I think I'm the happiest man that lives on the face of the earth, is because my children, not just my son and two daughters, but the church children, not just those that are less than 21 years old, but all the children of the church, every member of the church, you are all my children. There is a sense that that is true. The Apostle Paul said that he had begotten them through the gospel and through all of my teaching and working and preaching for the past 32 years here. Every one of you, you are my children, and I love you. Maybe not as much as a mama loves her child, but I love you the way a daddy loves his child. Because I think that's about as good as a man can get, is to love. A man can love tremendously because God's given him the ability to love. And I love you all. Now, let me say that every child is important. And every young adult is important. And every middle-aged person in this church is important. And every old person in this church is important. You do not get too old to be important to this church body. As long as we continue to follow what God's Word says, you will always be an integral, important part of this church body. I want to start with children. Back up in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Sometimes in the church, sometimes the people want to be big eyes and want to have little U's. I want to be important. I want to be more important. I want to carry more authority. I'll tell you, brethren, that's not the way it is in the church. Jesus is the only head of the church. It's not the pastor. It's not a board of deacons. We're a body under the head. The head is Jesus Christ, and we're all members of the body. In Matthew chapter 18, the apostles got to arguing about which one of them was the greatest. Matthew 18, verse 1, the scripture says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." One of the littlest children. Who's the littlest child in here right now? I guess that would be Brooklyn. Jesus said, except ye be converted and become as little children. Tell me some of the characteristics, Granddaddy, of little Brooklyn. What does she need? Does she trust you? Is there a difference in you holding her and Brother Richard going back there and trying to hold her? Yes, there's a big difference. There's not only a difference in the ones holding her, but she would feel a difference. And she would recognize the difference. And she would not be content. If you were to right now bring her up here and put her in his arms, she would soon disrupt the service and say, without saying a word, she would be saying, I want my mama. I want my daddy. I want my granddaddy. I want anybody else. Not offensive to you, Brother Richard, but she would want relief. And brethren, the only place I find happiness and joy is in the true church of Jesus Christ. There is no other organization in the world. There's no civic organization. And a church that does not maintain what God's Word says is truth. I can never find joy there any more than Brooklyn can find joy in your arms. The people of God have great joy in the true church. There's no way to describe the joy that the people of God. There's no way to describe the peace that the people of God. There's no way to describe the security that the people of God feel in the church of Jesus Christ. There's no way to describe how much we enjoy the food that our mother has for us. Does everybody understand that? My mama's brought some food today for lunch. I like for her to come, but I like for her to bring some food too. And she'll call and she'll say, tell Teresa I'm cooking. And she'll, you have some greens for me? Did you bring some greens? Turnip greens or no? Oh dear. Well, she usually brings turnip greens. I'll tell you what she does have. Saw it in the back. It's in the oven back there. If any of you need some food for lunch, I'll fight you, but we'll share. We'll share because I love you. There's a big pan of dressing that's cooking back there. And half of that or a third of that pan has oysters in it. And the rest of it doesn't have oysters in it. And the reason that she does all of that is because I like oysters in my dressing. And other members of the family don't like oysters. So she goes to a lot of trouble to make it palatable to them all. I say a lot of mothers out there, I do the same thing. Well, brethren, the church of Jesus Christ, listen carefully. My mother would never give me poison. My mother would never give me something that's going to harm me. And the church of Jesus Christ will never teach doctrines that are contrary to the Word of God. And parents that love their children and love each other will not begin to feed their children things that are contrary to the Word of God. The church is important. The church is a mother to us all. Jesus says, whosoever therefore, verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. If I want to love Jesus, I've got to love you. Everybody follow that? If you receive a little child, Jesus says, you receive a little child, you receive me. Same thing is true. If you reject a little child, if you don't love a little child, you're not loving Jesus. And then he says in verse 6, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. All through the Word of God, the Word of God stresses the importance of little children. Jesus makes this statement. He said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Are little children important? Indeed they are. Now listen carefully in closing. Jesus makes this statement. I'm not going to turn to any other scriptures, but I want you to listen carefully. In John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, Jesus is praying to the Father. He first, in the earlier part of that chapter, he's praying for his apostles. And then he begins to pray, and he says in John 17, 21, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. He's beginning to pray for me because I believe on him through their word. And here's his prayer for me and you and for them. He says, I pray that they all may be one. Is God pleased when we're divided? And I don't believe we are. But listen, brethren, it is important that we never allow the church to be divided. When troubles arise, the important thing for the church to do is to try to resolve those problems. If I walk out and leave this church, and unless this church has done something and left the doctrines of God's word, if I walk out and leave this church, I have done wrong. I've caused a division in the body. Does everybody understand that? And it's wrong. Jesus is praying that we might all be what? That we might all be one. That means that we should not be divided. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Now go, but take that illustration where Jesus is praying that they might all be one, and go back to that woman back there, that harlot that went before the king. Could she have been crying out, "Let not my child be divided"? Could that have been the words that came out of her mouth? Let not my child be divided. I hear God from heaven crying out, let not my child be divided. Let not the church be divided. Let not the family be divided. Let not the brethren be divided. We belong to him. May God help us to hear the cry of our Father, let not my child be divided. May God help us as long as we live, that we would never be divided, and that we would never let a little one perish, but that we would love one another the way Christ loves us, and that we would forgive one another the way Christ has forgiven us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.